podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Brian Scott Mednick again. We reconnected a while back when he thought I had spammed him. And when he was on last, we talked about his most recent book, Gene Wilder, Funny and Sad. Since then, Life magazine has run a special on the 50th anniversary of Willy Wonka. They quoted Brian extensively. And also, last week was the 50th anniversary of Gene Wilder's death, so I knew I had to chat with him again. Enjoy!
Hi, Brooke.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. How's your day?
Day was good. Weather's kind of lousy in New York.
It's been
a very rainy summer here. How about you?
It's been kind of dreary here as well today. But yeah, but otherwise it's been pretty nice. But yeah, it's been a pretty good day.
Good.
But excited to talk with you again. The Life magazine thing is fantastic.
Yeah, they contacted me earlier this year, and a very nice journalist named Gina McIntyre told me that they were putting together the special issue for the 50th anniversary of the movie, and I was delighted to talk with her. The edition is very, very well produced. Life magazine has been doing a lot of special issues for a number of years now. They don't put out a regular monthly magazine, so they put out special editions. They did a tribute recently to the Beatles. They did one to Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm.
When Gene died in 2016, they put out a whole issue devoted just to his life and career, which was I was very, very surprised, and it was incredibly well done.
Mm-hmm.
And this Willy Wonka tribute is a nice companion piece to that, because it's very extensive in detailing every aspect of the film, from Roald Dahl's book to the whole process of it being made into a film, and then the later interpretations, or as I refer to them, rip-offs.
Yeah.
it's really well done. If I take exception with anything, it's just on the back cover. There's three photos, and one of the photos is of the Johnny Depp version.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that was necessary. there's a chapter in the issue that is devoted to the film, and that's appropriate, because mm-hmm. I think the remake needed to be addressed, especially considering Gene's feelings about it.
Right.
But I want to put a picture of that on the back cover. But that's just a little quill. I have to find something to complain about.
So Gene Wilder didn't like the Johnny Depp version?
He refused to see it.
Okay.
Yeah, his thinking was that there was no... And he said he liked Johnny Depp. And he said if it had to be done, you know, maybe he's the right actor for it.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't see the film because he thought it would be... He thought it was all about money.
Mm-hmm.
And he said if anything took the sting out of it was the fact that Willy Wonka wasn't in the title. They went with the original title of the book, which was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Right.
So he wouldn't see it, and having seen the film myself,
mm-hmm.
And of course I'm a little biased.
Yeah.
I thought the film was not good at all. I thought it was a very creepy film.
I did too.
Making it into doing a straight adaptation of the book instead of a musical.
Mm-hmm.
I could see maybe that could have been interesting,
yeah.
But the original is just such a classic. It's so iconic, yeah, that I think to attempt to do a remake, it would be like trying to remake Casablanca or a film of that level. It's just there's no reason to, and there's no one who could fill Gene Wilder's shoes in terms of playing Wonka.
Right.
And they're now working on a prequel called just Wonka.
Uh-huh.
Someone got paid a lot of money to come up with that title.
A prequel to Johnny Depp's version?
It's a prequel to the whole Willy Wonka story.
Okay, got it.
Willy Wonka as a young man before,
mm-hmm. oh.
Before he acquired the chocolate factory.
Okay.
And as far as casting, I think they made a very good choice it's going to be Timothy Chalamet playing the young Wonka.
Uh-huh.
So physically, I could see him doing it, and I think he's a terrific actor. Uh-huh. Certainly, I think one of the more talented young actors. But again, I think it is another attempt, I think, just to profit off the Willy Wonka brand.
Probably, for sure. I thought the Johnny Depp one was creepy as well. I haven't seen the whole thing. I do own it, but I've not seen the whole thing.
I went into it with an open mind, but mm-hmm. I just don't think it's very good. It's very cold. It's very, very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have any of the real magic that the original film had.
Mm-hmm.
And the original film, as colorful and as whimsical as it may be, it's also a very dark film.
And
the way it treats the kids, and it was not a hit when it came out in 1971,
right?
And Gene Wilder thinks part of the reason was, he said, the mothers were hesitant about taking their kids to see a movie like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually interviewed the director, Mel Stewart, for my book, mm-hmm. many years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he said that he was not making a children's film. He said, I was making a film for adults, and if the little brats wanted to come over, that's fine.
That's funny. Yeah, that was something that I was really surprised to see. I started reading the book like when I was really young, and I started and stopped several times and never got to the dark part. And then, like, one time recently, I only just recently finished the book, and I was so surprised. I was like, what? This is, like, my feel-good book. This is, like, the book that I just thought it was, it always put me in a good mood when I would read it, because I'd be like, oh, Chocolate Factory, and these kids, and everything like that, and they're funny, and they're rude, and but then I read the whole thing, and I was like, wait, I don't like this at all. But actually I do like it, but I didn't like the ending. But I was really surprised at the darkness of it. And I think a lot of people are, because I don't think a lot of people finish it because they don't think they know.
Yeah, well, I think that's what makes it so special. It's not a sugary, sweet children's film at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it really stands up as... It's a film that appeals to young people because of the premise and the fact that it is based on a children's book.
Right.
But it's just so well done. And the interesting thing is that when it came out, it didn't make a lot of money. But then over the years, especially in the 1980s, once it came out on home video,
mm-hmm.
people were rediscovering it.
Yeah.
And it's still the case with the film that new generations keep rediscovering it because of home video and because of it being shown on television. For a time, it was shown every Thanksgiving,
right,
kind of as a tradition.
Yeah.
And it was even re-released on its 25th anniversary with a really great print. And it's just a beloved film, and it's ironic that when it came out, it didn't receive a great deal of attention or really acclaim, and now it's considered a classic.
Right. Well, you said in one of your quotes in Life that Gene Wilder didn't really like the story. He didn't really like the movie. That he said that his best role was Young Frankenstein.
Right.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he thought the film could have been a great movie, but he said there would have had to be another director.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, they were worried about the NAACP and offending black people, so they changed the Oompa Loompas into what we know them as, with orange faces and green hair.
Okay.
And Gene thought, well, they made them kind of like the Munchkins, and he didn't think that was the point of it at all.
Right.
He thought it was about the relationship that Willy Wonka had with these people who were from another country, and mm-hmm. he saved them.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, the director, Mel Stewart, was a bit of a maniac.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
he had nothing but praise for Gene mm-hmm. when I interviewed him. Yeah, he absolutely loved working with him. So it wasn't until much later that I found out that I could kind of tell because Mel Stewart was very nice to me when I met him.
Uh-huh.
But I could just tell he had a side to him that maybe you didn't want to get on his bad side or catch him, you know, on a bad day.
Right.
And he would yell at crew members. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Gene said, you can't yell at one person on the crew and not expect it to affect everyone else.
Right.
It's interesting that Mel Stewart, I think, you know, and Gene Wilder were working on the same set, but they were working on two different movies.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
That is pretty interesting. So, and you said that the kids were, and you said that they were actually, you know, really, really nice and really respectful and well-behaved, you know, as opposed to the characters they were playing. But I think that's a little, that does sound surprising, but I mean, I guess that's acting. But I mean, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, they were all so excited to be there.
Yeah.
And they all wanted Gene's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very nice to them. And when Thanksgiving came, as they quote me in the Life piece,
mm-hmm.
he
brought
paid
the Thanksgiving
for, yeah, he flipped for the Thanksgiving turkey dinner for the whole cast.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and he got along with the kids, but Mel Stewart said he remained a little bit aloof. Mm-hmm. Because he said he found that the very good actors become their persona off the set. So he said Gene was always slightly aloof, but the kids absolutely adored him, and he was very good with them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he plays such a good role, and I've always liked him as an actor, and you obviously are quite inspired by him. You wrote the book about him. Talk about what draws you to him, to Gene Wilder?
I addressed that in the introduction of my book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why Gene Wilder?
Mm-hmm.
And I started becoming a really big fan of his when I was very young. Young Frankenstein's one of the first films I saw in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people who are really crazy about the movies, you know, all the lonely moviegoers out there,
uh-huh.
they find one actor or actress who they identify with. And I always saw a little bit of me in Gene Wilder, and I always was able to identify with him in a way that I didn't with other actors.
Mm-hmm.
And comedy and tragedy are very, there's a very fine line between them.
They're very similar.
And, yeah, and I can't think of any other actor who was able to walk that tightrope better than Gene Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also just say, aside from the fact that I think he has probably the funniest moments on screen of any other actor,
mm-hmm.
who I can think of. I was a strange kid. I mean, I grew up in the 80s, and you know, here I was. My idol was older than my parents,
mm-hmm.
and you know, everyone else was crazy about Madonna and
right.
Michael Jackson and Ralph Macchio,
right?
But I still think I was a very intuitive kid that I chose Gene Wilder as my hero. So
yeah, I went through a phase where I was liking the older celebrities. I guess like I like Lucille Ball and Marilyn Monroe. And,
oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Like all the older actors and actresses. I thought that was kind of cool. But I did like Ralph Macchio and all the other ones too.
I'm not. Criticizing the talent of those people. It's just that when I was that age,
right?
I was always very old for my age in mm-hmm. terms of my taste in music and film and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that, yeah, so that was, you know, something that was a little bit strange about me, but I got a book out of it, so.
yeah. Well, I mean, I was kind of that way too, but I think that was because my dad listened to like 50s rock and stuff mm-hmm. like that. They like watched the older stuff, and actually,
right.
So I mean, is that like why do you was it? Did you just come into it yourself, or what was your influence in that way?
Well, again, Young Frankenstein was one of the first films I ever saw in a theater.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think, maybe I was 5 or 6 years old. I saw it a few years after it came out. And it was in black and white, and the humor, there's no way I could have understood that adult humor at the time, but I loved it.
Yeah.
And, I just was, growing up, I was watching the films of Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks and your favorite, Woody Allen.
Exactly. Exactly.
And all the people who, you know, worked in those films, and a lot of them overlapped. So those are the kind of films that I was really interested in growing up. I really wasn't interested in, some of the things that might have been a little bit more. Well, actually, this isn't true, because I did like a lot of juvenile stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, I did like a lot of things, and now I think, oh, I can't believe I used to like that film. I can't believe I thought that was a 4-star movie.
Right.
But, you know, your tastes evolve and they mature, and, you know, now I'll see one of those films that I thought was kind of sophomoric, and I'll think, actually, this was pretty funny. I shouldn't try to be the grown-up intellectual now who thinks, you know, the film wasn't serious enough.
Right, right. Serious is overrated. I like funny.
When I want serious, I'll go to an Ingmar Bergman film. If I want to really be depressed, that's what I'll do. And it took me a while, but I now have my favorite Ingmar Bergman films. So
what is it?
I just know. Visually, The Seventh Seal has the end scene, the Dance of Death, I think is one of the most beautiful images ever caught on film.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I find it a very difficult film to get through.
Mm-hmm.
Films of his that I really liked were Fanny and Alexander, which to me should be seen every Christmas,
uh-huh.
even though it's a very, very long film. You might have to start it right before Thanksgiving. Finish it by New Year's, but Fanny and Alexander is a great film. Scenes from a Marriage, mm-hmm. is also a very, very good film. And The Virgin Spring with Max von Sydow, who was in, I believe he did 11 films with Bergman. Wild Strawberries is mm-hmm. a great film. And really one of my very favorites of his is Autumn Sonata with mm-hmm. Ingrid Bergman and Lee Vollmann.
Mm-hmm.
That was from I believe 1978, and it's a great film. They did have a great edition on DVD, and it's one of the rare foreign films that I would say you can watch dubbed, because Ingrid Bergman and Lee Vollmann both speak perfect English, so they dubbed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a great job. That's a great film.
Yeah.
He also made a few that, you know, you just want to look for the sharpest knife. They're so
That's funny. Yeah, I'm more of the operas. I like the comedies and the not so dark ones.
Yeah, I tend to lean towards those myself, but every now and then, I don't know, you want to see something that's maybe a little bit darker.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, dark things have their place. I agree. So you said that this was like which anniversary of his death is this? Fifth?
August was 5 years.
Wow. Wow, that's too bad. He was so great. He was such a great actor.
He was the best, and it was I was just so amazed by the outpouring and the coverage of his death. And it's going back to Wonka. It's ironic because he said, "I don't want my gravestone to say Willy Wonka lies here." He said,
right.
"Dr. Frankenstein, I wouldn't mind."
Right.
And every obituary, every news story, the first thing they played was Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka.
Yeah, so he had no say over his legacy, but that's the role he's best remembered for.
But and I think that's a great role. I think that's a great legacy to have. I saw that and I was like, why didn't they want that?
I mean, as much as I love Young Frankenstein, and I do consider that one of his two or three best performances,
right.
I think Willy Wonka is probably his best performance.
Yeah.
And I've discussed this with others, that the fact that he was not nominated for an Oscar for that performance, pretty sad, because you think of someone like Mary Poppins, who won the Oscar for that role.
Yeah.
And that was really a sugary, sweet children's musical. And this was just a performance that had so much nuance. And he was nominated for a Golden Globe for it, but I think it was Oscar worthy. And also, the film was only nominated for one Oscar for its score.
Mm-hmm.
It was not nominated for any of the songs. It wasn't nominated for Candyman or Pure Imagination.
It
was overlooked for the costume design, the set design, which was amazing.
And that was so great.
All overlooked, yeah.
That's not right. That is not right. But yeah, but I think, I mean, yeah, I read that and I was like, that is such a great legacy for him to have. And I don't know why no one else saw it, but, and certainly don't know why he didn't see it, but
He, as he got older, he appreciated the role and the effect that the movie had on people, because mm-hmm. he used to go to his supermarket in Stamford, Connecticut, where he lived, mm-hmm. and the mothers would recognize him and say to the little kids, you know, that's Willy Wonka.
That's Willy Wonka.
And there was a great story recently, and I should have prepped a little better for this interview, where someone was recalling that whenever he would see Gene Wilder in the supermarket, Gene Wilder would, I forgot what he asked him to do, but he was very nice to the kid.
Yeah.
This is a kid who he ran into quite a bit, and he was always fine with, you know, the mother would say, can I tell my little boy or my little girl that you're Willy Wonka? He says, as long as you don't say it too loud.
That's funny, because the other people would hear.
Yeah, and he was great with fans, but he didn't like to, make a big deal and have a lot of people coming after him.
Mm-hmm.
But he would. I don't think he ever turned down signing an autograph.
Yeah.
Or posing for a picture. Now it's coming back to me, the story about this kid who would run into him. He would wind up buying the kid candy. So mm-hmm. the kid said, Willy Wonka gave me candy.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so neat. It sounds like he had like such a tender heart towards kids, and just, I mean, buying the Thanksgiving dinner for the set and buying candy for the kid. And I think that's so cool. And I'm sure other celebrities do that today, but I mean, you just don't hear about that kind of stuff. I think that's really cool.
Well, it's just unfortunate when you hear so many stories about celebrities who you either have a very nice persona, or you just in general like them very much, and mm-hmm. you hear, you know, maybe one story you could say, okay, they had a bad day. But when you hear many stories,
right,
from different sources, different people,
yeah,
you know, and I was watching I won't name the celebrity, although why not? He's
why
he's
not
a nice person, and he's been dead a long time, so it's not going to affect anybody. I was watching an old Neil Simon film called Only When I Laugh,
uh-huh.
and James Coco is in it, and he was a terrific actor,
mm-hmm.
very funny. And he was actually nominated for a supporting actor Oscar for the film. And I was watching it with a friend, and I said, he was not a pleasant person. And he said, no, really? And I said, I've heard more than one story. I heard he was once at a bank, and he was berating a teller, and he was just acting terribly. And I heard other stories as well. And it's like, that's such a shame. He was such a great actor. He had such a larger than life kind of personality, that you know, he was not a happy person. Mm-hmm. And Carol Burnett, who is, I've unfortunately never met Carol Burnett, but
I've known Carol Burnett.
She's just amazing, and she happens to be one of the nicest people in show business.
That's amazing.
And, yeah, and she commented about people in show business who aren't nice, and she's a good authority because she is one of the nicest. Mm-hmm. And she did a full hour of the Dick Cavett Show from the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I think it's available on YouTube to watch. It's a great interview. And Dick Cavett said to her, you know, can you talk about some of the swine you've worked with? And she said Porky Pig. Very, very clever. Yeah. And then she said she wouldn't name who the nasty ones were, but right. she said these people would be miserable if they were plumbers, or it doesn't matter what they would do. They're just not nice people.
Right.
And she said the ironic thing is some of the real biggies are actually the nicest. Mm-hmm. And she was good friends with Jimmy Stewart, who is had a reputation as being a very, very nice person. Mm-hmm. And Lucille Ball, she was very good friends with.
Yeah.
And Lucy, I knew someone, a photographer, who was actually pretty friendly with her. And Lucy was very nice, but she was tough. Mm-hmm. And she was a very shrewd business person. And she didn't suffer fools. So she wouldn't put up with people who did a poor job, or people who were just, you know, mm-hmm. not up to the task that they were given. Right. But she was very nice.
Yeah. That's good to know, because I really like her.
She's one of my favorites. Who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, this is so neat. You got such an inside scoop to Gene Wilder, and you've studied him quite a bit, and it sounds like a lot of other people too. And I just think that's amazing.
Thank you. After the book, people were saying, "Okay, who's next?"
And I said,
"My God!" I said, "I spent 15 years just trying to get this thing published, and you know, over 15 years writing it." Mm-hmm. And I know some biographers; they've written 15, 20 plus books on different stars. And I'm thinking, there's no way they could have been so in depth to turn out that many books.
Right.
About someone. And right. You know, again, the thing with him is that no one had written a book about him, and no one has written a book about him since. Mm-hmm. So that was a real positive thing for me.
Yeah.
But I toyed with a few people. I wanted to write a book. Actually started a few pages. I wanted to write a biography of Sidney Pollack. Mm-hmm. Who was one of my favorite directors and great actor and really interesting guy. And it's just amazing. There's so little out there about his personal life. Mm-hmm. And his daughter, one of his daughters is a big film executive at one of the major studios. Mm-hmm. And to me, that would have been a task where, you know, it would have been, okay, I could have wrote about each of his films, but I'd want it to be a lot more personal. And
right.
There just was not a lot out there. And there was a film... there was a book written about the making of Tootsie, mm-hmm. and it was quite good, but it was really just about the making of the film. Maybe. Didn't get into anything personal about him. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, that's a very hard person to write about. Mm-hmm. And I also thought about writing a book about Liberace.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. Well, just for the cover, I mean. The,
yeah, exactly.
How powerful that cover would have been. It's a quick biography.
That was so right there.
Problem with that is there have already been a number of books written about him.
Yeah.
And some of them quite good, actually. So, you know, it's like, okay, it's been done. There's no reason for me to, to cover something that's been done already, unless there was something I could add to it or do better, and there really isn't. So I don't plan to write another celebrity biography. Mm-hmm. I seriously doubt it, because I would have the Wilder book has been out 10 years already, so mm-hmm. I think something else would have come to me by now.
Right. Well, what about, like, not necessarily a celebrity biography, but like, what about like I guess it would be a... Would that be considered a celebrity? Feels like a historical biography?
Oh yeah, that's it's a historical biography is a genre.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even with that, there's so little that hasn't been written.
Right.
So you know, it's very difficult. In terms of doing a movie or something like that, I've thought about writing scripts about some historical figures that I don't think mm-hmm. are as well known as I think they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, or you know, actually, that's an interesting concept: write a biography of a total unknown.
Yeah, yeah, make him famous.
Yeah.
So I think that's intriguing. I think that's. Yeah, I mean, there's always material to write about, and I think it's cool that you pick people that I never thought about that, like just like, well, there's been nothing else written about him, or there's too much written about him, so
right.
So I can't.
Well, there's also, I guess, if you're trying just to make a buck, you could write about someone who's the flavor of the month and capitalize off of that, you know,
right.
Or write about one of the really young up and coming stars, or someone that's really hot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see that there's a young actor or actress, and I can't think of who it is, who wrote a memoir, and I don't think they're even 30 years old yet.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
I'm thinking, what have you experienced?
What do you know?
I just think it's almost, you know, a little pompous. A book that's going to be coming out, and I hope it's coming out soon, is Barbara Streisand.
Mm-hmm.
Is finally, I think she just completed writing her memoir.
Mm-hmm.
And that's someone who, you know, if she opens up and is really honest, that's going to be a fascinating read.
Right.
And there have been a lot of books written about her, and you know, it'll be interesting to see what her take is, how she decides to tell the details of her life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I guess I take that back. There are young people who have led some pretty full lives, at least definitely fuller than I did when I was 30. But
well, you know, I'm not going to criticize Anne Frank, but I wouldn't put her in the same league with with Elle Fanning or any of these young stars. You know, I don't think they've suffered enough to merit a book.
That's funny. So, you know, I do get what you're saying, though. And that was my first reaction. That's funny. So, well, thank you so much, Brian. Thank you so much for getting in touch with me, and thank you for chatting with me about it. And congratulations. This is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, pleasure speaking with you. And as I told you, the first podcast we did earlier this year got a lot of people said very, very nice things about it. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're a great guest, and we will do it again for sure.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, well, have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks, Brooke.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to you, Brian. Thanks.
You too.
Bye.
Take care.
Thanks.
Thank you so much to Brian Scott Mednick for chatting with me about all of your adventures. It's always so great talking with you. We'll definitely do it again. And thank you to you for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production, music by Corey Knoxville.